traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Hi, racing fans. Steve Wolf here. And with me on the International Equine Network, our co-host or founder of the network for Flying Turns is Scott Miller. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing good, Steve. Looks like we're going to go back to racing there on Flying Turns here tomorrow, right?
Well, that's what the situation is. I can tell everyone that tomorrow night, Scioto Downs will become the first track in North America to open for live parimutuel racing. Of course, it's fanless, so if you're in the Columbus area, you're not going to be able to go watch the races, but they have a great, I think it's a 12-race program set for tomorrow night, and then they're drawing today for Saturday. They're actually going to start racing 5 days a week to get started. And then right on the heels of Scioto Downs opening, Northfield Park is going to be open on Sunday. So they're also, so the tracks are starting to come back. The Governor Cuomo in New York has already sanctioned that all the New York tracks, the harness tracks, of course, Yonkers, Vernon, Saratoga, Tioga, Buffalo, Batavia, they're all going to be able to open in June. Also the thoroughbred tracks, Saratoga and Finger Lakes and Belmont, they're all going to be able to open with fanless racing. And the same goes in Canada. Mohawk Raceway, Grand River, Hanover Raceway, Exhibition Park will all be opening beginning in June. Also other tracks, Running Aces up in Minnesota, Harrington Raceway in Delaware, Hoosier Park in Indiana. I'm telling you, they're all going to have fanless racing, and they're all have set special rules and precautions in place for the drivers, trainers, caretakers, and workers that are coming to each of the tracks.
Right. Well, you know, Steve, a lot of our listeners out there, they don't know it. I mean, some of them probably do. But you can go just about to any one of the tracks, or you can go to INTV.org, and you can watch the races live. Like I'm watching Gulfstream live right now off of Gulfstream's, website.
And exactly. Most of the tracks have that. Or if you're an account holder already with, let's say, TVG or UBet, or I know some states even have their own betting systems. I mean, you'll be able to be able to watch all the action from home. In fact, Scioto Downs, because it's fanless racing, has put their race program for free on their website so that you'd be able to just grab it and pull it right down and check it out. And it's all good. It's all positive. And, of course, we know a lot of horsemen and women, horse people that have been down south at Sunshine Meadows, at Spring Garden Lake, at Olympia, Palm Beach. They're all trucking. The truckers are finally getting back into business.
Right. We sent three loads out of here this morning. Five or six during the week.
How many horses would be on a trailer? They're the real big ones, aren't they?
Yeah, they put about eight to a trailer now. They can hold 12 if they don't take any equipment, but most of them are putting eight horses on, and then they put all the equipment for the horses on, and a couple of the grooms will ride with them up. So they do about it.
Right.
About eight.
Plus they've got the tack trunks and equipment, and especially in harness racing, you got the top of the trailer is going to be jammed with race bikes and jog carts.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was interesting to see some of the trainers, the last 30 days here. I mean, they've been kind of down, not their usual selves. But then when it started opening back up, well, these guys went nuts. They just started jumping all over it. They were packing up, closing up their apartments or their houses here, and headed north.
Scott, of the tracks, the five thoroughbred tracks that have been open, plus racing in Sweden that's been nonstop, a couple tracks in Australia, they're all going fanless. And we've yet to hear of any situations where any of these horse people have come up with the virus. So obviously the precautions must be working, and I feel bad that, you know, the states wouldn't let the racetracks open sooner. The precautions seem to be working.
Go ahead.
No, I was saying that the precautions seem to be working well. So that's
all.
Oh
yeah, I think so. Todd Pletcher had sent 8 horses up to Churchill, 10 altogether. But the unique thing about the racing end of it, it seems like that all the trainers, no matter where you're at, the standardbreds, thoroughbreds, quarter horses, are sending their best horses to the track because they want to get them to train over the track that they're going to be, you know, running for this big money at. And so, you know, that seems to be working out pretty well for these guys. Quality racing.
Right. And with the immediate announcement of Scioto Downs being the first track to race, I have to give a shout-out for my friend Scott Allberg on Facebook, because the Harness Riders Association is being the sponsor of his monthly contest. And, of course, the first contest they're doing, and it's free for anyone to enter, is going to be these 3 swag bags of T-shirts, baseball caps, souvenir mugs that the Hamiltonian Society is giving away. So, folks, if you're looking for some handicapping to do, look up Scott Allberg, that's Alberg, on Facebook. Go to his page. You can friend him. You don't have to, but all you have to do is pick the exacta in the race, and you could be one of the 3 prize winners. So the fun's already starting.
But, you know, Steve, I'm glad to see that because knowing you as long as I have, you've had some pretty good promotions there for the tracks, and I think the tracks are going to get back into that now, you know, to where they're trying to get, you know, the fans there, especially new fans, you know, by offering things like that. A grab bag like that's great.
Oh, no, and we've got more prizes down the line. We've contacted different tracks and horse people organizations, and they're all willing to give out prizes and stuff and be a sponsor. I mean, the Hamiltonian Society came through, you know, big time with the first prize. And I think it's going to be at a point where we're going to do the contest more than once a month, because everyone's going to start racing and we want to, you know, give them all a shout. And we want harness racing fans. And of course, we want to try and attract new people. So, it's great, but all you have to do is go to the Scott Allberg's page on Facebook and check it out. But it's the promotions and marketing, if it's done properly now, just for simulcasting, and they can be prepared for when they're allowed to have fans come into the track, it is going to help a great deal, because I think horse racing in general is going to be more open to the public because it's an open-air event than a lot of other things. I mean, they're talking baseball, having the season just in Arizona. Well, that's fine for anyone that lives nearby, but it's a little tough. You know, you have to end up watching on TV as it is and root for your home team. But I think if racing properly promotes itself, it can grab a lot new spectator base with proper marketing and promotion. Because people are looking for things to do, and racing is going to be the first real avenue to come back.
Oh, you know that, and you know one of the things you're talking about, Saratoga. Saratoga, people live for that because every day they were giving away like a baseball cap with $1 paid admission, or, you know, they even did a wall clock one time. They did umbrellas, and, you know, that's a big part of, you know, racing. And a lot of people like to go just to get the memorabilia. You know, some don't like to stay for the races, but a lot of them do. And you're exactly right. If the tracks get on the, you know, on a good program to promote it and giveaways, you know, we could increase, you know, the viewership.
Absolutely. We used to call those people that would just come for the items, when the entranceway, the turnstile turners, that was it, TTs,
right.
B- because they, if it was $2 admission and you got a really nice baseball cap, they'd be turning, they'd go in that turnstile, go get their hat, go outside, come in, do it again. And once they had the three or four that they wanted, then they would go home or find a bag in the gift shop and hang around for the races and bring presents home for everyone. But they're the best form of advertising you can do. So I hope the tracks get back to it all. I think that's a great idea for every track once they allow fans to come and watch the races live. I don't know how that's going to be handled in the beginning. A restaurant can easily only take in, put out 50% of their total, but I don't know how you can do 50% of on-track attendance in horse racing unless you put little squares or circles all over the apron and only sell every other seat in the clubhouse. I don't know how you're going to handle that, but I'm sure they have plans in store. We talked with Jason Sennemore just last week, the GM of the Meadowlands, and he said he's been nonstop working, getting ready to reopen whenever. See, they're the only track now, New Jersey, that doesn't have permission to open. Monmouth Park is advertising July 5th, and of course they would love for the Meadowlands to get open sooner, but Governor Murphy hasn't given permission yet, and that to me is troublesome. I mean, when you think harness racing, you think the Meadowlands.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, and you think of all the people that they draw and the quality of the horses, you know, that are there. It's amazing, to do that. I just hope they can work it out because the industry needs that. And I noticed that Fox Sports had made a deal with Churchill Downs to broadcast their races live. And
so there you go.
Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2.
But while we're on it, before our first guest comes, what's this I hear about the Belmont has agreed to a date to race?
Right, yeah, they sure have. They've agreed to the date, and we're still going to have, like what they say, would be a, pretty much a triple crown. But New York Racing Association, the $1 million Belmont Stakes, will be contested on June 20th at Belmont Park without fans, making it the opening leg of the series that has been shuffled by, the virus.
And, right. So they're going to be the first leg. Will the Preakness continue to be the second leg?
No. The Preakness will be October 3rd, and then the Derby will be September 5th, and then the Preakness is October 3rd.
The order is totally messed up then.
Right, it's all messed up. And so the other day, Bob Baffert was talking, and he said that he is training specifically for the Belmont, his two horses, and he's got two monster horses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be interesting. The way they're scattered out like they are, the Derby could be, the place where it's conceivable that you could have another Triple Crown winner. And ironic would that be?
Well, I don't know how many horses they race in the Belmont. I mean, the Derby has always been fantastic or a little crazy because they run 20 horses. Those 20 horses do not go to the Preakness and to the Belmont. So what we see in the Belmont, we may not, we may see a whole different class of horses come Derby time.
Right. Well, I agree with you, Steve. I think that what's happening is you're going to see probably 8 or 9 horses for the Belmont because it's a mile and a half. And then, you've got to come back and go to the Preakness or to the Derby and then on to the Preakness. And, I think Baffert hit the nail right on the head when he said he'd love to win the Belmont because, a mile and a half proves that you've got one heck of a horse. And
two stake races. So the Preakness will then, with a hopeful Belmont winner coming in and then going in the Preakness, we'll put that emphasis on the Triple Crown and say, oh, boy, he's won those two. Is he going to go in the Derby? Of course, have its 20 horses, but a different type of Triple Crown on the line.
Oh, you're exactly right. You know, and the thing of it is with everybody, you know, shuffling to get around and do what they're needing to do, you know, the Derby's still going to be the Derby, no matter what they do. You know, that's for sure. And they're scattered far enough apart that it would have some kind of, you know, importance to being a Triple Crown winner, you know, but just in a different order, you know. So, see, what about the Standardbreds and the Breeders' Crown and, you know, the Jug and the Hamiltonian? Or have they got any dates for them yet?
Well, they're still sticking to their original dates. In other words, the Hamiltonian is, I believe, the second week in August, so that if the Meadowlands can start racing in June, they'll be able to get those stake races in along with some other ones. But, of course, the Hamiltonian is set for the 8th of August. And then, of course, the Little Brown Jug is going to be the 17th of September. And then the Breeders' Crown is still set for the end of October. That's going to be in Hoosier Park. And the Triple Crown is, all those dates are pretty good. The North America Cup, of course, has changed till the end of July instead of a little bit earlier. And a few stakes have been canceled, a number of Grand Circuit ones. But for the most part, most of the stakes are returning. And of course, the... I see releases almost every day how sire stakes, Ohio, for instance, they've had to sacrifice one leg of their sire stakes for the 2 and 3 year olds. But they're still going to be able to hold legs in finals, you know, as they normally do. It's just going to be one less early leg due to the virus.
Now, have you noticed any of the tracks that are having the qualifiers? Are they getting, you know, quite a few hosts qualifying.
Oh, my. In fact, I'm hoping that our special guest, our first one, Joe Morris, who's the vice president of racing for Scioto Downs, will be on, because I wanted him to tell everyone about the qualifiers that they did there and how many horses they had, because it was amazing. But Northfield Park has held qualifiers. I think they had 12 or 13. I know Scioto Downs, I think it was as soon as they got the word the next day that month, I think it was last Saturday that they ran 16 qualifying races, and then the next day 16 qualifying races. I don't even know how many they had on the third day, but that's an awful lot of horses. But their goal, and they're achieving it, is that every race that they have on opening night or opening weekend are going to feature horses that have recently qualified, so that fans have an idea of these horses' abilities, and they're not betting on horses that haven't raced in 60 days.
Right. Well, you know, having said that about the qualifiers, you know, if they're running that type of that many horses and that many qualifying races, you know, that should be the foundation to let everyone know that, you know, you can have racing, you know, under this quarantine thing, and it can work, it can be successful.
Right, and they're a little bit strict at Scioto, because I did see on their condition sheet that every horse that qualifies at Scioto Downs cannot go and race someplace else. They have to race at least their first start, parimutuel start, has to be at Scioto. So, you know, horsemen can't, they have to decide whether they're going to race at Northfield or at Scioto, and that's where they would have to qualify. They just can't qualify and say, hey, I'm going to go here now, or I'm going to go here.
Right.
They have to stay. And that way, they're forcing them to race at their tracks so that they can have, you know, full fields. I think they have one, Scioto Downs, one of their 12 races opening night, the Philly and Mare Open, has only 6 starters in it. But I think all the rest of the races are between 8, and they actually have 2 fields with 10 horses in it, which on a 5/8 mile makes, you know, it's going to make for good racing. It's going to be competitive. It's going to be exciting. and I'm sure there's going to be some big prices opening night.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, like that's like with the thoroughbreds. They were getting, you know, 15, 16, you know, horses dropping into the entry box, you know, to get in.
Right.
And so it worked out very good, you know, for the, you know, the thoroughbreds end of it. They're put 8-9 horses in a field, you know, which is good. The fans like that. It makes it for an interesting race. And also, I just kind of wondered, you know, how they would do at Toyota, you know, on their opening day, and how many horses they actually got to, you know, drop entries.
Yeah. Oh no, they're full. And in fact, as we speak, I'm going on their website just to try and grab a quick look at what they if they posted anything for Friday yet. But either way, whether you got whether you go to the racetrack itself, Scioto Downs, I think it's Eldorado, so SciotaDowns.com, and be able to see what's going on. And, of course, on Saturday, Scioto will, again, be the only track in the nation racing, and they've got another 12-race card, and it's chock full of horses. And actually, it looks pretty exciting. So now I don't have to watch Chicago PD reruns at night. I can put on, although I have enjoyed some movies on Netflix, I'll be able to put up Scioto Downs and catch the racing section. But they've got an open for 18,000 on Saturday that's got 9 horses in it. So it just goes to show you, when you run those qualifiers and keep the horses on the grounds, you know, every race is 8, 9, 10 horses per field.
Well, so, yeah. Let me ask you another question. Did you notice any new trainers at Scioto opposed to, you know, what were there last year, or is it pretty much the same?
You know what? I don't follow the sport well enough to be able to comment on that. What I can say is that people like the Ron Burke stable, I mean, they're everywhere, and they have, you know, horses and most of the races. I think, you know, that they've sent quite a few of their horses there. But some of the regulars, I haven't seen any, you know, invaders coming in. But they have some of the top drivers in the sport: Aaron Merriman, Trace Tietrich, Ronnie Wren Jr., Brett Miller, Tyler Smith, Josh Sutton, Kane Kaufman. They're all there. Some of them are training their own horses, but they're all there. And some of the horses listed on the Scioto races have 2 and 3 drivers, you know, named on each of the horses. So somebody like an Aaron Merriman's got to make his, you know, pick, or Tyler Smith, who's a great young driver. I see him on 3 horses. The same with Trace Tietrich. He's on, you know, 2 different horses. And I'm just talking about the open class. As I look at all the races, almost every race has, you know, some of the cases, you know, you have 1, 2, 3, 4 horses listed with, you know, 2 drivers, 2 different drivers on it.
Right.
So they've got to make a switch. Sam Wigger from up in Hawthorne, he's down at Scioto Downs, and I'm sure we're going to see the same. You know, Mike Wilder, who's normally at the Meadows, but you know, Pennsylvania's got some issues, which we were going to talk about after our guest who hasn't arrived yet. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Pennsylvania's got a problem. They have a governor who's no relation to me. His name is Tom Wolf, and months ago, he announced that in his budget that he was going to, quote, I guess, raid the slot money that's designated for horse racing purses, and he was going to take about 75% of it away for a new school scholarship program, which would be devastating to the state of Pennsylvania. And thus, with all these tracks opening up and all these different states, Governor Wolf hasn't given the okay for Pennsylvania to race. And I know between the thoroughbreds and the harness tracks there, and they have an extensive stakes program, breeding program. You know, they have thousands, well over 10,000 people that are involved in horse racing that they're not allowing fanless racing. I mean, whether he's holding them for ransom or what, I don't know, but with all these other tracks opening, Pennsylvania should be the same as the Meadowlands, and they're not. I mean, there was a survey done for New York. Just to give you an example, Scott, in the state of New York, they state that with their thoroughbred and harness tracks, that over 19,000 people are employed one way or the other and involved in racing, and they're going to get to go back to work. But what's that say for the thousands of people in Pennsylvania and New Jersey? They're not. I mean, even Yonkers Raceway, which was the epicenter of the pandemic to some degree, they're allowing Yonkers to open with fanless racing. So the fact that Pennsylvania and New Jersey has not given the okay is troublesome, especially in New Jersey, because Governor Murphy has been a friend of racing. And the fact that he has not allowed it to happen, and we realize that New Jersey had quite a few, second only to New York, in coronavirus deaths. But if New York, if Governor Cuomo is good enough to let racing begin, you know, I don't understand why Pennsylvania and New Jersey are not.
Well, you know, that's like at Gulfstream. They've got, you know, over 1,000 people involved in the operation of Gulfstream, and you know they're still racing. And like I said, sitting here.
Exactly. There's no reported problems or anything like that.
Yeah, none at all. And you know they've been steady on course, you know, with doing this. For example, the day in the second race at Gulfstream, they wagered $685,000. And it's going over $500,000 a race every day at Gulfstream.
And
all the other tracks are doing the same. You know, and the people are working. You know, but they're doing it with, you know, proper protocol.
Exactly. It's all of that, and that's what needs to be in place, and they all have that done. But we need to move on. We need to talk about more positive things, like OnGate.com just announced that they've come up with a phone app for their online auction sales. And I know that that's good news, because in this day and age, more and more people rely, they're not so much, well, they're stuck at home so they can use their computer. But as people are getting able to not socialize so much, but go out in public, they rely on their phones and tablets, and now they'll be able to, you know, look at all of their any horse sales or auctions going on by right on their cell phone.
Well, you know, you're talking about cell phones. Today I was down in one of the barns here, and we had I was talking to one of the show horse trainers, and she's actually buying a horse. It's a very, very nice show horse, you know, to be competitive, you know, at all the big shows. And it was very interesting how they did it. They saw the horse online. They watched all the videos online. And so they called the veterinarian in that area. They were vetting the horse today. They were x-raying the feet, you know, and doing, you know, the whole vet thing on it. And they all watched it on their phones. You know, you had the rider, you had the trainer, you had the owners. And they were watching it. And everything, and so depending on the results of the vet, you know, and the x-rays, you know, they didn't even have to go see the horse, you know. But, you know, that horse is going to be purchased and shipped here to Florida from New York, sight unseen, you might say, other than what they saw on their phone. So, you know, it can work.
No, absolutely it can. So... No, it's going to work, and I think it's going to. I think racing is going to be the first major league sport in America to be back in full operation down the road, even allowing fans.
Hold on a second there. You're talking about Scioto Downs in Columbus, Ohio. They just said on ESPN today that Ohio State has developed a plan that they could put 30,000 people into the horseshoe up there to watch football. And they are presenting that plan, I guess, to the governor and to the health department to see if it would be acceptable. But it just goes to show you, well, you know, when it comes to sports, there's a way. Okay. There you go, Steve. I think we've got our person from Scioto here, Joe Morris.
Well, I think Don, not yet. He's trying to get him. And before he comes on, folks, we're going to introduce Joe Morris. He has been named recently El Dorado's vice president of racing at both Scioto Downs and Pompano Park, the two harness tracks. And Joe is very familiar to harness racing.
Okay.
Well, if we get a hold of Joe, that'll be fine. And if not, we need to move forward because I know we have some other guests to get on today.
Yeah, we got some other guests. Okay, that sounds good.
We'll get everything straightened out.
You set up, Steve.
What were you saying now about with Delaware or Columbus, Ohio?
Oh, Ohio State has got a program set up to allow people in to watch football. And they said that the plan is unbelievable. They could put 30,000 people into a 100,000-seat stadium, and they could watch football. And so they're presented to, I guess, the state and the state health department, you know, to get approval so that they can let people watch Ohio State football in person.
In the stadium.
In the stadium.
In other words, in the stadium, 30,000, but... If I'm a season ticket holder and I'm not one of the 30,000 people picked, I think I'm going to be a little ticked off.
How are they going to? I guess they would have to have a lottery, you know, drawing, you know, for the people that have come in. But, you know, every time you see Ohio State play, there's no place you can't go in this world where you don't see an Ohio State, you know, hat or shirt. In fact, I was in Hong Kong and taking horses over, and I was going to the hotel, and I looked in the hotel, and there was a young man, and I assume it was his wife, and they had Ohio State shirts on. And I said, of all places, you know, at the races in Hong Kong, you see an Ohio State shirt and all. But, you know, Okay, that sounds good.
Sorry. We got our first guest.
Yeah. Are you there, Lori?
I am here.
Tell us about who you are and where you're from. I've been excited and waiting for this interview to come in for 4 days now.
Great. I've been excited as well. Thank you for having me. So I am Lori Birnbach. I am the Director of Business Development for a horse show facility called Fox Lee Farm that's located here in Venice, Florida. So we are on the Gulf Coast of Florida, the other side. And we were founded in 1983 by David and Linda Aldrich, a family. So we've been around for over 35 years now.
You know, weren't you guys one of the first ones to have a big million-dollar sanctioned A-rated hunter jumper show?
Yes. Yeah, so actually, we've been around for 35 years. We are nationally recognized. We run over 42 weeks of events a year now. But the original Horse Shows in the Sun, the original hit show, was actually held at Fox Lee way back in like 1983 or 1984. And so we've been around for a while. We're actually the number one economic impact for sports tourism here in Sarasota County, which is bigger than the Baltimore Orioles or the Atlanta Braves spring training, for example. So we do a pretty good business here.
Mm-hmm. Now, when's your first show coming up?
We are, so as everybody else has been doing this whole COVID thing, we have been shut down for a couple months, but we are starting back up And we're starting with just an open show that's kind of like a schooling show to get everybody back in the swing of things. And then the following weekend, June 11th through 14th, we start up with our nationally recognized or nationally ranked horse show circuit for the summer. So we will have 9 weeks of horse shows back to back, starting July 11th or June 11th through August 2nd.
Oh, fantastic. Now, do you have many horses stabled there, or are they all shipping?
So typically, that's a good question, because typically in the summertime, it's mostly local, more local barns, like anywhere from around the Naples area up to Tampa, maybe some from Ocala. But this year, with the current situation, a lot of the big show stables have not gone north for the summer yet. So we are anticipating that our demographics for this summer are going to be completely different. So we are like, our phones are ringing off the hook for stalls, and we're actually going to have to bring in temporary stalls because, yes, for our horse shows, to answer your question, people do stable on the grounds because typically our shows are anywhere from 3 to 5 days long. And we're going to have to bring in temporary stalls this summer, we believe, because so many people are planning to stay down here in South Florida versus going back up to the Northeast, where, as you probably heard, a lot of the really big show circuits have been canceled or they're in limbo right now as they haven't received formal approval to run.
Right. Well, what about your protocol for there? What, you know, kind of take us through if I were going to ship a horse in, you know, to show over there, what would we have to do to, you know, to get in?
So we're using a couple of different guidelines. So we've got all of the recommendations from the CDC, and also the World Health Organization has a specific risk assessment for sporting events. So we have completed that assessment, and we've made changes according to that. We will not be allowing, unfortunately, spectators or guests. So it will only be the people that are actually competing and the trainers and the grooms. We are going to be implementing and encouraging social distancing. So we, for example, when we set up the temporary stalls, we're probably going to set them up in blocks of maybe 10 stalls with space between them so that we can stable the separate barns together but keep the barns separated from other barns. People will be required to wear masks anywhere on the property other than if you're actually on your horse competing. We will have hand sanitizer throughout the property. For our cafe, for example, we have actually just implemented an online ordering system that you can actually order food online, and we will have it prepared and have it to go for you. So we're not going to be having dine-in in the cafe. And then one of the things that's kind of funny, but we're excited about, and most of our competitors are excited about, we've got a new thing called tribe toilets. So we say when you go to the show, you're kind of with your tribe, and as long as you stay together with your tribe, you're okay. So we actually have a new service that you can actually rent your own porta potty for your own barn that will be locked and reserved for you, so you don't even have to share restrooms.
Fantastic.
There you go.
Fantastic.
Wow.
That's the way to do it. It sounds like that you're on top of everything there. And I like that about your restaurant there. I've heard a lot of good recommendations about that. And, you know, you can have it delivered right to your barn and everything.
Yep.
So what we would like to do, Lori, is keep in touch with you all the time and see what you have. I'm going to put a link to Fox Lee up on our website. So they can, you know, we've got to drive as many people as we can, you know, to seeing you over there. And how do our listeners get a hold of you?
So if you go to our website, which is Foxley Farm, singular, not plural, foxleyfarm.com, you can find all of our contact information. And we also are on Facebook and Instagram. If you want to follow us on that, and you can also sign up for our email list. We do regular email blasts as well.
So your next show, if you give us the date for your next show.
Yes. So the schooling show is June 6th and 7th, and then the A-rated shows start June 11th. And the full calendar is on our website.
Okay. Well, Laurie, it was great having you on today. Like I said, we're going to stay in touch with you. Where we can do a little more in-depth about Fox Lee, about the history of the place, and you know, the shows that you have coming up, because as soon as this virus is over, I recommend highly going to Foxley. It's 45 acres of unbelievable over there. You know, you guys just have it going on. And I tell you, a lot of our people here at Sunshine Meadows come over to show over there. And several other people, they like going over there opposed to going to Wellington. You know? So,
yes, well, you know, we are only 5 miles, we're less than 5 miles from one of the top beaches in the country. So you can come over here, we call it a showcation. You can come over here and horse show in the morning and go to the beach in the afternoon.
There you go.
That sounds good to me.
Well, Laurie,
can we bring the horse to the beach too?
Actually, we have a dog beach, and we do have a place you can go take horses to swim the horses.
there you go. Oh, man. Well,
okay.
Laurie, we've got another guest
coming on.
We liked having you on with us. You're a fantastic facility, and I think that if you've never been to a horse show, if they were to come to Foxley, they'd be horsemen for life.
There you go.
Yes. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Laurie.
Okay, Steve, who we got now?
Our next guest is Joe Morris, the Vice President of Racing at both Scioto and Pompano Park. And I actually first met Joe, I have a little trouble with my memory, when I was at Freehold Raceway 25 years ago. But he's not only a vice president of El Dorado, but he's been in racing all your life. Joe, didn't you grow up with it up in New England?
Up in the state of Maine. As a
10-year-old,
cleaning stalls, jogging horses, throwing hay bales.
There he is. Well, welcome to the show. And my understanding is that you're a first cousin of top driver Bruce Ranger.
We grew up on the same horse farm, a longest continually run farm by the same family in the state of Maine. Both our mothers were from that, and we started out at about the same age. He had a little more driving talent than I had, and then I grew to like heat in the winter and air conditioning in the summer, so I went to the racetrack management side of it, but been doing it as long as he has, but from a front side instead of a back side.
Well, it's great that your track, Scioto Downs, is the first to reopen.
First in North America.
Tell us that you set a record of sorts for qualifying races this past week, preparing for opening night?
I think we need to call Guinness and see if we can get it in there. But we started Saturday, and we went Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 16 races a day, and we came back Wednesday with 18 races. We got 4 inches of rain over one night. We had tornado warnings. Part of our barn area flooded from a stream on another. But it is a hardy group of horsemen in Ohio, and we got through it. We got them qualified. We've got 10 races for tomorrow night. It's the first track up in North America. We've got 10 more Saturday, and then we'll draw for Monday on Friday. So we're ready to go.
It sounds that way. Tell us some of the special precautions that the track is taking in order to have what we call fanless racing.
We've got a governor who's very attuned to the different industries there in Ohio, Governor DeWine, and working with his group in the Ohio Racing Commission, we got guidelines written that we all got to participate in. So we don't have the backstretch we have, it doesn't have any horses in it. We don't stable there. So what we did for qualifiers, if they had about 144 horses a day, we assigned them stalls in the empty barn area. So a guy comes in with 10 head, those 10 could go right in a row because they're coming out of the same barn. And then we would put a social distance space in between, and we'd put the next barn in. We'd give the stables the same stalls each time, so it was only their crews touching the cross ties and the surfaces. So that worked. We have in the first 2 days, I actually checked them in and to let them know of the other rules. Unless you're in your truck or you're out on the track, you have to wear your mask. Period on that. So, you know, let them know that. We have 16 different hand sanitizing stations set up throughout that area. Extra cleaning on bathrooms. We have a four-race paddock that we made a two-race paddock. So we'd bring them up two to a time and then alternate two and two, and we would sterilize the cross ties in between. We had enough saddle pads, so nobody had to double up on those. Put all of that in. Everybody followed it with enthusiasm, and then social distancing, just watching the races. You know, you're standing along a fence at that point. But they did a fantastic job, and I'll tell you, a shout out to the Ohio Horsemen. They have one speed there in Ohio, and it's wide open when they're out there on the track. They really go up there. We had two races going 51 in a piece.
I was just going to say about that. It looks like your track crew has a track, despite all the rain you're getting.
Track is good, and you know we brought in Dan and Greg Coons. Dan was the one up there, and they're the preeminent harness track guys in the world, I would say, certainly in America. So Dan was there and helped us with our program of how to get that thing ready. But track's in good shape, and the track crew there at Scioto's that does a really good job too. But it helps when you got Dan Coon helping guide you.
Well, we've seen what's happened with some of the thoroughbred tracks and the great handles there. They've been taking in Gulfstream Park and
Potter
Park,
Anita.
I believe it is.
Yeah, Potter Park, Will Rogers.
Well, I have to talk because that's a track that only races. I think in the month of April they would race a 1 week, what they call almost a fair meet, and right. They would total handle for that week would be like 3.5 million. And I think in the month of April they handled $25 million.
No, they were doing that a day. So it's been crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now now we want to put a little handicapping pressure on you with the first harness racetrack to come back. Everybody's itching for racing. You've got a great, great card. What's your handle going to be Friday and Saturday?
We averaged about 220 last year. I did my numbers, part of the purse projections, at between 500 and 600. To put my standard bet, my dollar or a beer, I'm putting $750,000 out there, which would be a handle record. Now, I've brought Gabe Pruitt up with me from Pompano, and he's really good. He's probably has 5,000 gamblers that follow him on Twitter, and he'll be helping set the post times. He'd be saying a million. So he's
well, you know what?
A million.
I have to agree with Gabe because my feeling is that so many of us fans have been stymied on being able to really bet on things other than the few thoroughbred tracks, and now that harness is there, I'm going to predict approximately $1.5 to $2 million.
Wow, I'm liking your now. I'll tell you a couple things we did to help ourselves. For the first time ever, we will be on TVG. So I have TVG coverage at least Friday, Saturday, and Monday. So that'll help on. We've actually had our qualifiers on Facebook on the Ohio Harness website.
We were going to say.
With an announcer and the voice, Roger Houston, doing commentary. So we've been trying to create some excitement. I've done a deal with the Daily Racing Form. So we're doing a low takeout 14% pick five for the gamblers. That'll be in the racing form. We'll be on the DRF.com. The gamblers will be betting the thoroughbreds that day. I want them to see our harness product that they're there. And then we also will have free programs on the Scioto website for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in a deal we did with Trackmaster. So we're trying to get the word out to make sure. We had 14,000 views on Facebook Live on the qualifiers. I mean,
exactly.
On one day.
We have to credit you and the Ohio Horsemen Association for coming up with all this so fast. It's like, it's a New York minute, and you guys are live on Facebook with the 16 qualifiers, and the views, they were outstanding. And that's why I think those views, I mean, if you have 14,000 people betting on you, you're going to handle a good chunk of change come this weekend.
It's going to be good, and we've reached out to some of the bigger players and some of the bigger syndicates also to make sure we get hopefully on their radar. So it should be good. Then we come up with a new tote system. We United Totes are our new tote provider, so that should work out well. So we're ready to go. We're excited.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time. I know you're busy. I know I've seen pictures. You even had Gabe working a little front-end loader, cleaning out the qualifying
stalls. You have to get people unfurloughed in this world nowadays, and we couldn't get a few quick enough. So I know which end of the pitchfork you're supposed to get on, and we hit Gabe driving the tractor, cleaning stalls, and it was a lot of fun doing that.
That's all good, but we want to thank you for coming on the show. And Scott, you got any last questions before we let Joe go? Because I know he's busy.
No, I know he's a front runner, and he's going to set the pace for all the other tracks, you know. And I hope that they take notice of what he's doing there, you know. And if they could follow that game plan, I'm telling you, Thunderbirds will be back racing in no time.
You're right; they will be.
Okay,
thanks,
Joe, thank you very
show.
Much
all
for
right,
being
thank
on.
You
we
guys.
Appreciate it. We're going to have you back again.
I appreciate it. We'll do a recap and see whose number was closer on the handle.
There you go. Thank you, all Joe. Right. Well, there you go, Scott. That was good.
Yeah. I tell you what, he sounds like he's right on top of it, you know. And like I said, I think if the other tracks can follow him, you know, what he's doing. I mean, to have that many races over that period of time, I mean, he came in there and he set everything up for success. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think you're right, Steve. They're going to bet a lot of money on these horses.
Yes, that's right.
And also, it's going to be interesting.
It'll be interesting. Well, it starts out with Scioto Downs on Friday, Northfield Park on Sunday, and I know Scioto's racing 5 days a week. I think Northfield is also maybe 4 days a week. But then you have Running Aces in Minnesota on the 1st of June, and then hopefully by the second week of June, we're going to have racing in Canada, especially Mohawk Raceway and Hanover and Grand River. I mean, I was hopeful that by mid-June at least, or towards the end, that all the regular scheduled tracks will be racing. And things, I don't want to say will be back to normal because it'll be all fanless to begin with, but at least the tracks are doing the right thing and getting open and getting people work and getting owners especially who have put up tens of thousands of dollars to keep these horses in training are actually going to have a chance to start getting some reward for it. And of course, all the sire stakes that normally begin in April and May have been rescheduled. So there's going to also be a lot of stake races, and horsemen are going to have to choose. They're going to have to decide, you know, which races they want to go to, but they're used to doing that anyway. And I think everyone is, as Joe Morris said, they're tickled pink that they can race again. So they're willing to, if the track is sloppy or whatever, it's raining out, that's fine. We want to race, and that's what they're going to do.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, Steve, this is my own personal opinion that I've developed over the last 43 years as I've attended races and, worked in the business. I'll be honest with you. I can remember when the Kentucky Derby was, it was big, but, they didn't have the 100,000+, there, that type of thing. I think what this virus has created is a situation that each racetrack has to develop their own way to get the fans involved. And
right
now it appears to be through, television and radio. And I think that the pressure's on the tracks now, because if they really want to grow this business, can you imagine if you give a good racing program, a video, radio, what have you, those fans, as soon as those gates open up to bring back live fans to the races, they'll flood the turnstiles.
I think so. I mean, I can tell you now that right before the beginning of the show, we announced the Harness Rider sponsorship of the first handicapping contest on Scott Albrecht's page and Facebook. And he already has 100 people that have entered the contest. because we've put up the program page. All you have to do is pick the exact, you know, the horses that finished one, first and second in the race. And it's already at 25 shares, so they're getting the word out to everyone. I'm telling you, people are going to love the return of harness racing. And Scioto Downs is the place that's going to reap all the benefits to begin with.
Oh, exactly. And you know what I found? That you always are loyal to the first one to come back, like Scioto Downs. And all the other tracks may open, but doing what they've done there, the 16 races, and what they're doing, people will stay loyal to that, you know. And it's good that they're going to be on TVG and, you know, all these outlets, you know, to where the fans can, you know, get to them and do a great program. You know, no telling what's going to happen. We ought to get a little contest. So how much money do you think they're going to wager at Scioto tomorrow?
Well, I said $1.5
million. Mm-hmm.
You know what? It could be higher. It could very well. I think that Joe Morris is sort of sandbagging it, and could. I think it would be between 1.5 and 2 million.
I'm gonna go with 1,100,000.
There you go. That's well, then I'll just stick with my 1.5 million and go from there.
Yeah, because I think that. You know, having access to it, you know, is going to be interesting. And you know, you got to remember that the money that's being wagered, you know, it's got to go through Twin Spires, you know, Express Bet, you know, what have you. And, you know, and I really haven't seen a lot of advertising, you know, by, you know, some of the OTBs. Now, NYRA has advertised quite a bit. You know, but I think once they start finding out that they can join Twin Spires and places like that for free, you know, I think a lot of people might try it out for the first time.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, why not give it a try? Because there isn't much else going on. And like Joe Morris had said, Scioto Downs, which predominantly is not one of the top tracks out there, they've now have entered the spotlight, and TVG, which they're usually not on, is going to carry them probably all the races at night because there aren't any night thoroughbred tracks. So Friday and Saturday night, if you're a TVG person, you'll get it all. I'll have it right here. I can watch it on my regular TV or the computer,
right.
And that's
right.
Going to be super. I just have to fight with my wife to get the permission to put it on the TV. But we'll see how things go.
Well, you know, like I said before, with NBC making the deal with you know, Churchill to do that, they jumped on that real quick. You know, to get it on Fox Sports. You know, that was the main thing. And next Thursday we're going to talk about some live and taped horse shows that we're going to be having on IEN. I was amazed over the last 3 or 4 days. I've had 4 or 5 different horse show entities across the country call and ask about, you know, getting their programming, you know, for distribution. And
right.
Show horse people just haven't really jumped on top of it. You know, they're just kind of like doing their thing and they don't care whether they're on television or not. But what happened? All their good people, their sponsors said, let's do it. So next week we'll talk about that and whatever you got, Steve. We appreciate all of our guests.
Well,
appreciate
that's right. And next week we'll have the numbers and we'll be able to talk about the opening weekend for harness racing in North America. And we're going to have plenty, and we're going to have more guests and more talk about the horse shows and rodeos. That's
right.
What I want to hear. When's the rodeo circuit you're going to be able to get back on? Actually, they started. I watched bull riding on Saturday.
Right.
They had nobody in the stands, and the clowns, the bullfighters, all wore masks.
There you go.
But next week
okay,
we'll have a great show.
All
We had a great show today.
We'll see everybody next week. And, Steve, I appreciate everything. We're getting it all together. BBS did us a great favor.
That's right.
Remember, guys, go to BBS when you're bored. You can find any and everything on BBS.